Good morning, everyone. Thank you, ladies, for that song. Memories from the past, and what a great message. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. I don't think you could have found a better song for some of what we're going to talk about today. So that was encouraging. He does. Good to see you folks. Boy, what a beautiful day, huh? When we were talking about it on the way in here, how it looks like Skyline Drive, just driving down Route 33. Leaves are gorgeous. All right, well, grab your Bibles. We are going to do two more weeks, this week and next week, in Psalms, talking about poetry and wisdom that speaks to my soul. It's just really encouraging. I mean, hearing the guys read through the Psalms every week, but it's so encouraging just to think about how God even cares about our feelings. You know, He cares about what's going on down deep inside of us. And David was not afraid to let his feelings show, right? We're going to be in Psalm 31 this morning, and it's another one of those places where we really get to see what David is thinking and feeling. So I want to start with a question, not really for you to answer, but just for you to be thinking about as we introduce the idea of this morning. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt really, really sad? I mean, maybe even for a long period of time. And of course, we're going to see that in David's life here. And sadness is just sometimes a part of life. Now, of course, the Bible tells us to rejoice always. But sometimes when you experience a big loss or a big disappointment or a big life change that you didn't want, it can really lead to some deep sadness. So what do we do about it? You know, what does rejoicing always look like when we hit those times in our lives? Well, in Psalm 31, David gives us another glimpse into his life, and he is experiencing some pretty deep sadness. So we're going to talk about, my idea this morning is we're going to talk about five sets of P's. Each word begins with a P. Five sets of P's from Psalm 31 as we make our way through thinking about this idea of sadness and what David did with it, what we should do with it. Let's pray before we dive in. Lord in heaven, as others have already said, I just thank you too that you are here today, Lord. Lord, we are so excited to be together, but also to be together in the presence of the living God, the one who loves us passionately and faithfully, Lord. We just worship you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Your love causes us to love one another and the world around us. Lord, your love, your presence just gives us joy and hope in life. And so, Lord, as we look into this idea of sadness, something that we all face at one time or another, Lord, would you just be our teacher this morning? Help me to get out of the way. You be the one teaching and speaking directly into our lives, I pray, in the beautiful name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Always exciting to be opening up God's Word and just waiting for Him to speak into our lives. All right, so Psalm 31, we're going to start actually over towards the middle of the psalm. And if you're taking notes, the first set of P's is, I'm calling it, the problem and the pour out. I want us to start in the middle because I want us to see what is going on in David's soul before we go to how he begins. And I'll talk about why I think he begins a different way in just a moment. But look at verse 9 with me. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. All right, so instantly we get a glimpse directly into David's heart, what he's experiencing. He is not afraid to hide his problems. I'm not afraid to speak his problems to the Lord, excuse me. So this could come from several different times in David's life. Often as we think about David, it's easy to think, man, he must have had a great life, easy life, exciting life, because he was king and he could have almost anything he wanted. But the truth of the matter is, David went through some hard stuff, really hard stuff. So this psalm could have come from several different places in his life. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how he was running for his life from King Saul for an extended period of time. And during that time, many people in Israel were actually trying to help Saul. You know, there would be these conspiracies. They'd be watching where David was traveling, and then they'd be reporting in to Saul. At one point, you know, they sent word to Saul, well, we've been watching him. Here's where he is. You come and get him. And so people were against David during that time period. Another thing happened later in David's life when one of his own sons, Absalom, tries to take over the kingdom. Now, of course, part of that happened due to some of David's own mistakes. But still, it doesn't ease the pain of it, right? His own son develops this coup, gets a group of very powerful people together, declares himself king, and marches on Jerusalem. And so David, again, is running for his life, not sure who's on his side, who's conspiring against him, who's going to tell his son Absalom where he's gone. And so you can just imagine the pain of that. First from close friends. I mean, he served King Saul with all of his heart. And now from his own son. Can you imagine the pain of that? And so David is going through this time of just deep, deep sadness, whichever one you're talking about. So let's just bring this into our own lives. You know, think about it in your own life for a couple of minutes. I got a definition here for you that I found regarding deep sadness. This is how they describe it. A strong emotional response, often linked to significant events such as loss, disappointment, or major life changes. Listen to this. It is a normal reaction to difficult situations, but it can become overwhelming. Some of the symptoms. Here are some emotional symptoms of deep sadness. Feelings of emptiness, hopelessness, or despair. Here are some physical symptoms of deep sadness. Withdrawal from social activities and difficulty carrying out daily routines. So, yes, sadness is a normal response to some of life's situations, but it can become so overwhelming that all of a sudden you feel like you can't function anymore. You know, you can't take care of your kids, you can't go to work and fulfill your daily responsibilities. So it can really become an enormous issue for us. So how do we deal with it? What do we do? I'd like you to notice in David's life the first thing is something that he does not do. He does not pretend. Right? Sometimes, you know, we used to call it stuffing it. You know, sometimes it's easy to think, well, I'm just going to put on a happy face, and everybody's going to think everything's great. David doesn't do that, right? I mean, we just read his words, at least with the Lord. You know, maybe in some instances, David did that with other people around him. But at least with the Lord, David went and just poured his heart out. That's why I'm calling it the problem and the pour out. He just dumped it all on the Lord. And I think we need to remember this. Even though God tells us to rejoice always, he understands sadness. He understands loss. I mean, his own son died on a cruel cross and took the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. God understands it. He wants us to be honest with him. We do not need to hide stuff from our Heavenly Father. So the problem and the pour out, the first part of the solution is pouring our heart out to him. And also sometimes it's helpful to be able to pour your heart out to some other folks. You know, some people that you trust, some people that are godly, that love the Lord. Have some close friends. It's important to have close friends that you can pour out your problems with. All right? Problem and the pour out. Now let's go on to the second set of P's, and we're going to call that the prayer and the praise. The prayer and the praise. And we're going to go back, because that's where David starts in this psalm. Now I know in some of the psalms, like in the one that Josh read for us this morning, David just jumped right in to all of the hard stuff. And he does that sometimes, but I think it's really cool that in this psalm, even though you know he's got all this sorrow just churning down inside of him, the place he actually starts is with the prayer and the praise. Go to verse 1 with me. This is for the choir director, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. So here's the prayer. David's got all this sorrow churning down inside of him. But he goes to his Heavenly Father, and his very first thing is, Lord, rescue me quickly. Help me out of the situation, Father. Don't let me ever be ashamed. Be my rock. Be my stronghold. He then immediately jumps into the praise, verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Wow. So, you know, I think we should just let David be our mentor. This would be a great psalm. If you have different times of deep sadness like this, write it down somewhere, Psalm 31. How to start when I'm facing sadness. And here David goes. He starts off by asking for God's help. Lord, be my stronghold. And then he immediately says, Lord, I know you will be. I know you will be. I know you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're going to lead me. You're going to pull me out of this net. You are my strength. Verse 5, he says, into your hand I commit my spirit. Interesting, you know, the Lord Jesus said that. That may have been his very last words that the Lord Jesus spoke before he gave up the Spirit when he was hanging on the cross. Just entrusting himself to his Heavenly Father. David does that right here. He says, you have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. So he begins with prayer and praise. Keep going in verse 6. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and you have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. David, even though he's got this sadness churning in him, he starts off with prayer and praise, asking for God's help and telling God that he believes he will help. And I believe we should do the same thing, that it would be helpful to us to just make that our starting place. Just to acknowledge to God, God, I know you see me. Right? You see everything. You know what I'm going through. And of course, the Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted. So David just runs to the Lord. He says, I know that you see me, Lord. And I think we should acknowledge that to him. We should ask for his help. And it will help us. It will help us get started. All right, we already talked about the problem and the pour out. So we're going to jump now to the third set of P's, and that I'm calling the promises and the pylons. Promises and the pylons. Now, you probably know what a pylon is, but just in case you're not a builder, a pylon is like this really tall, strong, solid pole that you drive down into a really solid foundation, and it holds up everything that is above it. So start with me in verse 14. David says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. So David is telling the Lord, Lord, my hope's in you. He's already poured out the problems. Remember, we read them just a moment ago. He's poured out this deep sorrow and sadness to the Lord. Now he's telling the Lord, Lord, I am in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. David is acknowledging that God is a God of loving kindness. And so he's saying, I'm going to trust you, Lord. Let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. David is saying to the Lord, Lord, you're my strong tower. You're the pylon in my life. I have a story that I love that helps me picture this. There was, way back in the day, there was this tightrope walker by the name of Blunden. And he used to actually set his tightrope up over the river immediately before Niagara Falls. So, huge river, very dangerous. But he would set his tightrope up across this river. And then he would go out there, crowd would gather, he would go out there and put on his tightrope act. And he was actually, from what I read, incredible. He could just do just about anything on this tightrope. Drove a wheelbarrow across it, carried stuff across on his shoulders. I mean, just the crowd would be cheering before very long. So he would do this for a while, get the crowd all riled up, stirred up, and then he would come over close to the edge of the crowd, and he would say, how many of you all believe that I can put you on my shoulders and carry you across this tightrope? And over half of the people out there would go, yeah, man, there is no doubt. And he would say, all right, how about you, sir? Come on up here. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Most people would not dare. But every now and then, he'd find somebody, and this person would come on up and climb on his shoulders, and sure enough, he'd carry him across there. This is a picture of what real trust is. It's not something that I'm doing up here. It's something that I'm doing in here, and something that's happening, you know, it's literally happening. And that, I think, is so cool to think about, that that's what David is literally doing here. He says, I am putting my trust in you, Lord. Yeah, I have these issues that are just devastating my life. I do not know how to deal with them, but Lord, I believe you do. The promises and the pylons. The fourth set of P's are, I'm calling, the past and the power. The past and the power. Start in verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. So David seems to be remembering the past. God, this is what I know you have done for those who have taken refuge in you. Verse 20, you hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. David says, God, I know you can rescue people and that you actually hide them from the conspiracies of man. You know, you and I have a similar promise. You know, Colossians 3 says that you and I are hidden with Christ in God. And when he is revealed, you will be revealed with him. So right now, if you are a Christian, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're hidden with Christ in God. He's your protector. But David is just remembering these things. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. Wow, what a statement. Here David is in a city surrounded by walls, and the army shows up, and the siege ramps are going up, and they're trying to take over the city, probably because they're looking for David. Those seem to be the most trying times in his life. And what does he say he's experiencing right then? God, you've made your loving kindness real to me in a besieged city. Maybe you feel like a besieged city. It's easy to happen. You know, life can just pound away at you. I think, especially if there's been a mistake, if there's been a sin in your life, the devil will make you feel like a besieged city. You know, think about how he operates. Before the sin, the devil comes along and he goes, oh, Sam, what are you worried about? It's nothing. Everybody's doing that. It's okay. It's just a little indulgence. You know how much you will enjoy it. My goodness, this is ridiculous. Just live it up a little bit. Have a little bit of fun. And the second you do it, he turns the corner. And he goes, you low-down, good-for-nothing, rotten, creep, poor excuse for a Christian. Are you a Christian? And he just, like, you're a besieged city. He will just hammer away at you for days, weeks, maybe longer. Well, you know what? The Lord is your protector and defender. The Lord paid the price for every sin in your life. And you are free. God wants to make his loving kindness real to you, no matter how besieged you may feel. He is always with you. He is your rock and your tower. How far are we going here? In a besieged city, verse 22. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. You know, I think David's just remembering the past, and he's remembering the power of God. Because he had so many different things in his life, right? He can just think back to all of these things. Lord, you took out that lion. You took out that bear. Lord, you took out Goliath. I went out there and looked like a midget standing in front of him. You took him out. God, you defended me from King Saul. God, you made me king of this nation. I mean, he just looks back and he sees God's faithfulness. And you and I can do the same thing. You can look back and think about, meditate on the faithfulness of God, the ways that he has delivered you in the past. And because of that, you know about God's power in your life, and you can just trust him. You can trust him. So look back at your life. Remember what he's done in your life, the past and the power. I think it would be helpful for you if you would tell someone about it. You know, if you're experiencing deep sadness, there's something that's just overcoming you, you could go to a friend and you could say, you know what, man, I'm really struggling. This is what's going on. Hopefully this is a friend you trust. This is what's going on. But you know, I remember, about 10 years back, I was going through this thing, and God is faithful, and God delivered me. Tell someone. It'll help you remember. They'll celebrate with you, and they'll probably tell you some of their own stories about God's power and God's faithfulness, and it will encourage your heart. Write your story down. You know, your stories of what God's done in your life. If you're struggling with deep sadness, write those stories down. Meditate on them. Remember that God is faithful and God delivers you. And just as he's done in the past, so he will do in the future. So he will do in your current situation. You know, the Bible calls him God, the faithful God. That's who he is. And he'll be with you, and he will deliver you. So let's go on to the fifth set of P's, and I'm calling that the plea and the peace. The plea and the peace. Look at verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. So the plea and the peace. David's plea here is to you and me. What's he asking us to do? Love the Lord. Love the Lord. And remember, he says, the Lord preserves the faithful. So God, David's challenging you. He's challenging me. Sam, love the Lord. Life Song, love the Lord. Remember that God is faithful. And then he talks about peace. Peace. The Lord preserves the faithful. He fully recompenses the proud doer. You know, I'd just like to briefly mention that because David mentions it here. God is faithful. And God is not only faithful to preserve his godly ones and those who are trusting in him, but God is faithful to take care of wickedness. God will discipline and fully recompense the wicked. We can be at peace. We do not have to take our own revenge. We're actually commanded in the New Testament to never take our own revenge. He says, leave room for the wrath of God. God says, I'll take care of it. So you and I, brothers and sisters, can be, should be at peace because God will take care of us and God will take care of the wicked as well. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Wow. The plea and the peace. I have a story that for some reason this reminds me of. It's from the book Pilgrim's Progress. In case you've never written it, Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory, a fairly long allegory, written by a guy, I think his name's John Bunyan. Someone can correct me, John Bunyan. So he was a pastor. He was in prison for a while, and one of the times, because he wouldn't stop preaching the gospel. And so one of the times while he's in prison, he starts writing this allegory. And it's a story of a young man. He's named Christian, and he lives in the city of destruction. And a guy named Evangelist comes and meets him and tells him to flee from the wrath that is to come and go to this little wicket gate. And if he gets entry into that little wicket gate, then he can go on his journey to the celestial city. Okay, it's a really cool allegory. If you've not read it, you should. I think I might read it again one day soon because this has reminded me of it. Anyhow, he gets into the wicket gate. He's on the journey. He goes to this one house. It's called the House of the Interpreter. And while he's there, the interpreter is taking him around to all these different rooms and explaining things to him that will be helpful for him on his journey. So he comes into this one room, and there's a blazing fire going. He and the interpreter are standing there watching. And there's a dude in the room getting buckets full of water and throwing them on the fire just as fast as he can. Yet in spite of that, the fire is just blazing hotter and hotter. And he says, "What is the meaning of this?" The interpreter takes him around to look behind the wall of where the fire is. And on the other side of the wall, there's someone else back there pouring buckets of oil on the fire just as hard as he can. And the interpreter says to him, "This is to explain to you that no matter what the world," I can't remember all his words exactly. I wish I had brought the quote. I could just read it to you. "But whatever the world can try to pour on your life and bring discouragement and sorrow and defeat, etc., the Lord is behind the scenes pouring on the grace, pouring on the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God in your life." And we can have peace in our lives even when we face deep sadness. You know, sadness is a normal reaction to life, right? When hard things happen, they happen. And we deal with it, but God will give us the grace. God will give us the help. I'm going to repeat these ideas. Hopefully they will mean something to you. The problem and the pour out, acknowledge your problem, pour it out to the Lord. The prayer and the praise, get connected to your Heavenly Father. Ask for His help and thank Him ahead of time for the help that you know He'll give you. The promises and the pylons, literally entrust yourself to God's care. You don't have to solve this all by yourself. Certainly you want to take whatever steps you can, but entrust yourself to His care. The past and the power, look back. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's power in your life. And the plea and the peace, love the Lord, trust the Lord, rest in the Lord, and He'll give you His peace. Please pray together with me. Lord in heaven, I want to thank You that You are God, the faithful God, and that You're in my life. Lord, You're in my brothers and sisters' lives here today. Lord, You're faithful. We can trust You. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here today or someone that may be listening online that's just really in the throes of deep sadness, Lord, I pray for Your rescue in that life. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You yet as their own personal Lord and Savior, I pray for Your rescue in that life. Lord, I pray they'll just call out to You and ask for Your forgiveness and put their faith in what You did on the cross. Lord, thank you for loving us today. Thank you, Lord, that you give us joy, that you bring us out on the other side. Sadness, weeping may come at the night, but joy comes in the morning. So we trust you for it, Father. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.